if Ronnie and Walt could come at this time on behalf of New Hope Baptist Church, your church family, we would like to present you guys with a check for $1,000 to purchase some Bibles. Amen? Very good. Thank you very much. You bet. You bet. And don't go off. Don't run off. I'll invite those of you that want to come down and have a word of prayer. We're going to pray over these men, and we want them to succeed in this ministry that God has laid on their hearts and called them to. And so you come. We're going to have a church prayer right quick, and then we'll get on down the road with the rest of the service today. And after the invitation this morning, and we have a real quick church vote on the budget. We've already discussed it and did not have any questions on either budget that was presented for the church or the school. After a quick vote, these guys will be in the back with open Bibles. And if you feel led, after what you give and your tithes and offerings to the church, if you feel led to sow into that ministry, feel free to lay whatever God would have you lay in those open Bibles, and that will go in addition to what we're giving them here this morning. Amen? And then you have that insert, and you can say, God's leading me to give something, but I just don't have it right now, but next month I may have it when my tax check comes in. I want to give something then. And so you take that envelope and you can put that in there and mail it off and they'll get it. Amen. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for Ronnie and Walt, Lord, and what they mean to this church, and Lord, what they mean to you, and what they mean to Gideon's, Lord. Thank you for them answering the call and doing the difficult work of going on these school campuses and handing out to complete strangers these New Testament Bibles. Lord, we know that call, that your Holy Spirit, when that Bible is placed in those hands, sometimes there is just a connection, and people cannot get away from that word that's been placed in their hands. And they are compelled to open it and read it and find Jesus in it. Lord, we thank you for the witness of these men and the witness of your word as it goes forth through them. Thank you that you have need of them in this ministry of reconciliation, and they have answered that need, God. Lord, we're thankful for all the Bibles that are in the hospitals, that are in the hotels and the motels. Thank you for the many suicides that have been avoided, that have been rejected, Lord. Thank you for the victory that's gone to Jesus as people open these things, open these drawers, and find these Gideon Bibles. Lord, I pray you keep these men encouraged, that you keep their camp here in the Tomball area encouraged. Lord, they are few, but they are strong, and we're thankful for them. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to anoint what they're doing. And Lord, let them see some of the fruit of their labor. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Y'all can head on back to your seats. Thank you, boys. All right, I'm sorry you sat back down, because I'm going to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. But I mean, you know, the upside is you have really got the blood flowing now. Amen? You have really got the blood flowing. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. I'll give you just a few seconds to turn to that. Mark 11, verse 1. And Jeremiah, remind me, we need a spare battery up here. I just used my spare battery a few moments ago, so we need one up here in the bullpen waiting on me. So Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. If you found that this morning, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, God's word reads in Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. I love the part of the gospel, I love all the gospel of Mark, but I really like this section we're getting into now. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street. And they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. They brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest! Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we pray that we would be open to the message of your word for our lives today. Father God, we pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit over this place in regards to those that are lost, in regards to those that need to make a change, a decision about something in their life. Father God, I pray that we would not hold on to our time, and we would not hold on to our money, and we would not hold on to what we think is ours, Lord, and keep you out of the loop. You have called us to ministry. And Lord, we need to let go. We need to let you have. Father God, thank you that you allow us to participate. You allow us to participate in this ministry. The great ministry of reconciliation, of redemption, of propitiation. Lord, we love you today for it. Be with those that are lost. Father God, be with those that are religious and lost. We pray this would be the day of their salvation. It's in your name we pray it, everyone said. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. May he add his tremendous blessing to it. What do we got going on here now? Well, as Jesus arrived from the east, he's coming from the east, he's coming from Jericho. As he's coming from the east, coming onto the scene in the immediate area of Jerusalem, he arrived on what Exodus chapter 12 referred to as Lamb Selection Day. What in the world is that? That is the Monday before Passover when each family picked the most perfect lamb to be slain on Friday. Now, they could pick that lamb at roughly 6 o'clock on Sunday because that's when Monday would start. Or they could pick that lamb Monday morning or Monday afternoon, and they could pick that lamb all the way up until 6 p.m. on Monday when Tuesday started. But on that day, as Jesus was arriving into Jerusalem, it was as if God was saying, I've chosen my lamb whom I'm going to slay. As he comes, as he travels in, something different is going on here. Something different. Something different happened as Jesus traveled into the area of Jerusalem. Normally, Jesus, he seemed to avoid publicity, didn't he? I mean, if you read the gospel narrative, if you read all of those, he did spectacular things. He healed people. He brought people back to life. He did all kinds of things. The blind could see. The deaf could hear. The mute could speak. Those that were lame could walk. But often, Jesus would say, do not tell anyone. Let's just keep that between us. Now Jesus was making himself the focus, the tremendous focus of attention. And the question is why? Pastor, why was he doing that? Why the change all of a sudden? Why the change now? Why the change in Mark chapter 11? One reason was to fulfill the word of God. It was to fulfill Bible prophecy. It was to fulfill the Old Testament. Amen? That's what's going on. That's what's going on, friend. Zechariah chapter 9, beginning in verse 9, reads this. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Bible predicted, not just here in Zechariah, but the Bible predicted that he would enter the city of Jerusalem and that the Savior would present himself openly to the Jewish people as their Messiah. Now, what I want you to see here, friend, Josephus, the Jewish historian, he estimated that between 2 and 3 million people were packed into Jerusalem on this occasion. 2 to 3 million people, that's a lot of folks, amen? That's quite a few folks crammed into that area. So you can imagine how the streets and the paths and the thoroughfares where people walked were just crowded and crammed with thousands of people everywhere you would go. It's like a conveyor belt of humanity, right? It's like this center aisle during the welcome to the 10th power, amen? I mean, it's just boom, right? That's what was going on there, right? When Jesus inserted himself into this situation, it's kind of like we often spoke of, do you know what a cornfield meat is? Cornfield meat. That's in western Kansas when you get outside of Wichita and you head west towards Colorado. It's flat. And all there is corn and wheat and soybean and sorghum. That's it. Except for the train. The train runs through there. A cornfield meet is when one locomotive is on the track here and the other locomotive is on the track here and they've had a failure to communicate and no one has taken the bypass to let the other one pass. And so they are full steam ahead, bearing down on one another, and this locomotive has just come out of the refinery and is carrying tanker after tanker of kerosene and heating oil, and this locomotive over here has come out of California and has picked up all the fireworks and has been to the match factory, and here they are headed at one another at a high rate of locomotive speed. What's the point, Pastor? The point is this. It is a volatile, explosive, incredible situation that Jesus has inserted himself into. I want to share with you one major thing about this before we close, and we'll cover the rest of this evening. The first thing I want you to see, if you're taking notes, is we have a demonstration. A demonstration. What do you mean by a demonstration? Look at verses 1 through 3 with me. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage in Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. The village of Bethany, it was on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, slightly more than a mile outside the city of Jerusalem. As the morning began, Jesus was making the preparations necessary to enter the city and get into his Passion Week, which is going to culminate in his death. Normally, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, normally Jesus allowed others to take care of his arrangements. But not this time. Not this time, church. With the precision of the Word of God, with the precision of the Word of God, because he was the Word, amen, with that precision, he walked his disciples through every detail for finding the colt or the young donkey, untying it, assuring the owner that it will be properly returned, and bringing it to him, the unbroken animal never been sat on, that only the King of Kings would ride. Amen. That's incredible, isn't it? Those preparations demonstrate two basic facts of the life of our Lord, and I'll be done. The first fact is his deity. His deity. Let's say that together. His deity. He is divine. Jesus is God. His deity. Jesus had demonstrated His deity before. When Jesus sent Simon Peter down to the Sea of Galilee, when tax time rolled around, amen, which He does every year, He sent Peter down to the Sea of Galilee. He said, "The first fish you catch, open its mouth and you will find a shekel." You'll find a coin. Luke chapter 17, verses 24 through 27. Jesus, as divine, was in control of the entire situation. He was in control in Luke 17. He's in control in Mark chapter 11. Would you believe that Jesus is in control right now? Would you believe that? Friend, right now, He's in control. Jesus' divinity, the fact that He's God, and knowledge of all the details of my life. He has knowledge of all the details of my life. He has all the knowledge of the details of your life. He has the knowledge of all the details of our lives together. Amen. I want to tell you, that brings me some comfort today. Amen? That brings me some incredible comfort. Jesus has all the details of my life in His hands. All the details of your life in His hands. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." Church, amen? My life holds together. Your life holds together. If He decides to bring our lives on to glory with Him, He holds that together, amen? He'll bring us when He resurrects, amen? I mean, it's an incredible thing. He's got it all held together. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "And He is the radiance of His glory." Whose glory? God's glory. He is the radiance of His glory because He is God. Amen? He is the radiance of His glory. Hebrews 1:3. "And the exact representation of His nature." Of whose nature? Of God's nature. "And upholds all things." What do you mean by all things? The universe. Amen? "And upholds all things by the word of His power." Man, I love it. Man, I'm getting my preach on today. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I take you back to 1942. The USS Astoria was the first U.S. cruiser class ship to engage the Japanese during the Battle of Tsavo Island. That was a night action for control of Guadalcanal. This night action of death and mayhem took place on a hot, steamy night in August 8th and 9th of 1942. Although the Astoria got in some licks, they scored two direct hits on the Imperial flagship, Chikai. The Astoria itself was badly damaged, and it sank shortly after noon on August the 9th. This is a little bit of the background of one sailor. About 0200 hours, that's 2 a.m., on August the 9th, a young Midwesterner, signalman third class Elgin Staples, he had come down from his night watch at midnight, and he had been in his bunk. He had not taken off any of his clothes. He still had everything prepared that he was wearing on the upper deck. He climbs in his bunk and he goes to bed at midnight. At 0200 hours, he was awoken by a great crash, by a great explosion. As he responds to the explosion, to the great blast, he comes up on board and he sees the fire and he begins responding to the explosion. The Astoria's number one 8-inch gun turret had exploded. And as he's running toward this to give aid, to help put out the fire, as Elgin made his way to the action, as he's going into harm's way, as he's headed toward the danger, the deck below him disappeared from out from under his feet because there was no deck. It had been exploded off the ship. Elgin had fallen several feet. I mean a long way. He was shaken up. The wind was knocked out of him. His legs were injured. He was in semi-shock, unable to really swim. Yet he was kept afloat by a narrow life belt that he had managed to activate with a simple trigger mechanism. You know those, I'm talking 70s, early 80s. Remember those life belts? You didn't have life jackets. That wasn't cool, right? The life jacket, the orange thing. So you strapped on the life belt, right? Well, this was a life belt that had to be activated and aired up. It was rubberized. And so he had done that. At around 0600 hours, Staples was rescued by a passing destroyer, and he was brought back to the Astoria, who was badly damaged. The captain of the Astoria was attempting to save the cruiser by beaching her. He was trying to run her up on shallow ground. But the effort failed, and Staples, still wearing the same life belt, leaped from the ship that was about to roll and sink, finding himself back in the water for a second time. He's having a rough morning, amen? It was now lunchtime, and Staples was picked up again by another destroyer and later evacuated to Numai, close to Australia. On board the transport to Numai, Staples, for the first time, began to closely examine the life belt that had served him so well. The life belt was manufactured by Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, and it bore a registration number. When he finally made it back to his hometown of Akron, Ohio, Staples told his mother the story, and he showed her the life belt. Elgin's mother informed him that she had worked for Firestone as an inspector of such life belts. As Elgin and his mother looked at the life belt together, she located her personal inspection number on his belt. God had arranged the details so that a mother inspected the very belt that would save her son, not once, but twice. As the impact of the event sank in for Elgin and his mother, they sat, they stared at one another, and then they hugged in complete silence. Let me tell you something, friend. Jesus' divinity and knowledge of all the details of my life brings me comfort today. But not only his deity, we're talking about a demonstration here. Not only is his deity demonstrated, but secondly, his authority is demonstrated. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" you say, "The Lord has need of it." And immediately, he will send it back here. His authority. Jesus was well known in these villages. Only a few hours prior to his coming into this area, he had raised Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. And that was one reason for such a tremendous throng of people around him when he rode into Jerusalem. He just brought back a man from the dead. Amen? Yeah. Notice that Jesus calls himself Lord. He doesn't call himself Rabboni, teacher. He doesn't call himself brother. He doesn't call himself pastor. He calls himself Lord. But what I want you to see here, notice the Lord has a need. The Lord has need of it. My question is this. Do you feel the paradox? The two contradictory things here in all of this. How could the Lord of the universe, how could he ever have a need of anything? Well, friend, listen to me. The paradox of his earthly life was that although he was rich, he became poor. Amen? That's paradoxical. The paradox of his life was he was the ruler of all things, yet he possessed nothing. He had no real estate. He had no lands, no property. He was a traveling teacher and preacher. Jesus Christ, the paradox of his earthly life. Jesus Christ created the cattle on a thousand hills, yet he needed a boat from which to preach his gospel from. Amen? Well, the paradox of his earthly life, Jesus Christ, he created the stars. He flung them into space, the solar systems, the expanse of the universe, yet he needed somewhere to lay his head at night. The paradox of his earthly life. He who created the rushing streams of every river cried, "I thirst." He whose chariot was the clouds themselves said, "I need a donkey on which to ride into Jerusalem." The little donkey is called a colt in my New American Standard Version, and it's mentioned four times in these verses. The question I pose to you is this: is there some significance in that donkey? Well, the Lord had need of the donkey, and the Lord has need of you. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to give you some kind of weird, new, theological twist on God. God is still God. Jesus is still Jesus. The Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit without us. Did you know that? Without us. Without creation, God is still God. Jesus is still Jesus. The person of the Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit without this creation. Without the universe, it's still God. It's still Jesus, still the Holy Spirit. Without time and space, He's still God. Does that make sense to you? There's nothing in us. There's nothing about us. There's nothing around us. There's nothing we can do to complete God. I'm not talking about that nuance of the word need. What I am talking about, I'm talking about need in regards to the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. See, when a eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch to be exact, when he had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he came back empty-hearted, the Holy Spirit talked to Philip, spoke to Philip and said, Philip, you go into the desert and tell that Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. Now, you know and I know, God could have spoken directly from heaven to that eunuch just like He did to Philip and just like He did to the Apostle Paul if He had chosen to do so, but the Lord had need of Philip and Philip said yes. Amen? In His sovereignty and grace, God has given you and me, it is a privilege, friend. He has given us a privilege. It is a high and holy honor, a privilege of being used to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, in my notes I see they will stand and shout. And it's kind of, oh, hmm. Friend, let the Word of God sink in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 says, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Praise God, amen. Not counting our trespasses against us. And He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Aren't you so glad somebody told you about Jesus? Amen. Aren't you so glad? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Amen. Amen? Friend, what a wonderful blessing to be a link in the chain that has brought someone to Jesus. Maybe all you did was pray. You know, we need more folks praying. Amen. That lost folks get saved. Amen. Maybe all you can do is pray, but pray is a great thing to do. Maybe all you did was invite somebody to a worship service or a Bible study or to Sunday school. Praise God. Boy, we need more folks inviting more folks to services so they can hear the gospel, so they can be confronted with the truth. Amen. And that's all you can do. Praise God, do that. Amen. We need more people doing that. If all you did was hand out a New Testament Bible, praise God for that. If all you did was give to a Gideon offering, praise God for that. We need more of that. Amen? See, the point I'm trying to make, if God could use a donkey, well, you know where I'm going with this. Then He can certainly use you and me. Amen? Right? As I close it out this morning with you, don't miss the blessing of Jesus' authority. Some people look at authority and they say, man, I don't like that. I want to be in control. Don't miss the blessing of Jesus' authority over things, over your things, over your life, friend. Don't miss the blessing of Jesus' authority over things that are given to this ministry of redemption, this ministry of reconciliation, this ministry of propitiation, this ministry of justification. Oh, don't get hung up on that. Friend, you get to give. You get the opportunity. You get the privilege. You get the invite to give to God's mysterious salvific work. Amen. Friend, you ought to give with both hands. Amen. Verse 3 says, and immediately He will send it back here. Well, we miss that in the reading of this. You know what? What's the point as I end? Anything you give to Jesus, He ultimately gives it back to you. Except only fuller and richer and more precious. Amen. Don't you think that donkey was never the same? Carried the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine when he got back to the barn? Boy, I tell you what, Christmas has come early for me. I'll tell you what, I'm a little sore, but I'm so glad I'm sore for it. Amen? Jesus was on this back, right? Let me get on up in there in that hay right there. Amen? I think I'm ready to eat and drink, right? You'll be amazed, friend, at what Jesus will do with what you place in His hands. First, you've got to place yourself in His hands. Next, you've got to get all in, friend. Both feet. Both hands. I mean, it's like the hokey pokey on steroids, right? I mean, you get it all in for the glory of the King, right? And friend, He will take it, and He will cleanse the impurities in it, and He will sanctify it, and He will return it to you far more blessed than it was when you gave it to Him. But it takes you letting go. Amen? So we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can be a part of Your ministry of reconciliation. Lord, You know the hearts of those that are in attendance here. And God, as we come to You during this time of invitation, in a crowd this large, someone among us is lost. Someone here today needs to receive You. And Lord, if they're feeling the compulsion, if they're experiencing the conviction, if they've got that thing going on in their heart, going on in the pit of their stomach, going on in their mind that they just cannot shake, they just can't push it down, they just can't walk away from it. As the gentleman said in the video today, there was a force drawing him to the Word of God. Lord, if that thing, the Holy Spirit, His anointing, Lord, if that's going on here this morning, may we not quench it or squelch it. May we invite the fruit of it. And may that one walk the aisle today for You. Lord, You were laid bare on a cross for us. Might we walk a carpeted aisle in air-conditioned comfort for You today. Father God, others need to come and pray in the altar. They're holding on to things that they need to let go. They're holding on to things that they need to give to You. Father God, may we be obedient and submissive in every area of our lives. Thank You for working among us. Thank You for hearing the cries of our hearts. Thank You for being in the midst of us right now. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, I invite you to stand with us all over the sanctuary. You come. I'm down front. You come. Let's talk. Salvation. You come. Spilled. invite you to have a seat at this time. We're going to enter into just a real short special call business meeting, and I do mean short. We have presented two budgets to you. It's a combined church budget. Both of the budgets have been reduced from last year. Can anybody give me a number on that, finance team? I don't have anything before me. Those budgets have been reduced. Okay, so the church budget was reduced about $4,000. $4,000, and the school budget was reduced about $20,000. All right. So we're not having a discussion and answer time, but we are having a vote. And so if you will pray for the school and you will give your tithes and offerings to the church in support of this new budget in 2017, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
Those opposed by the same sign. And the motion carries. Thank you very much. Let's all stand together. Praise God. We get to operate for another year. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. we have a choir practice tonight.
Yes,
choir practice at 4:30. And man, have a great afternoon. I don't think you get a prettier day like this. Yeah, the Gideons are in the back, and again, if the Lord leads you to give in addition to what has been given, and above and beyond your tithes and your offerings, we invite you to sow into that ministry. It's a great ministry. Amen?
Amen.
How many Bibles given? 2 billion? Buddy, that's
Amen.
A lot. That's a lot of word out there. Amen?
A lot of hotel.
Yeah. Brother Kenneth Irvine, you close us today, and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Before you step out, if I could get you to sit back down, we've got one more decision for you. Y'all come on down front. I tell you what, God's working when you can't get out the door. Amen. God's working. All right. It's Bill and Judy, right? All right, Bill and Judy. Dad and Deborah are coming. All right. Very good. Well, we'll get some cards filled out on them. You thought you were going that way. Now you get to come this way and then go that way. Amen. Boy, if you're excited about these folks, I want to tell you, Jillian, this is all Jillian's fault. Amen. Jillian's over at the school, and she's in Brother Marco's class, and we're blessed to have her in our school and have these folks a desired membership into this church. If you're excited about them coming and being a part of New Hope Baptist Church, would you signify by saying amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless us. Keep the Lord in. All right. And Brother Kenneth has already prayed, so let's all stand. Come around and give these folks the right hand of fellowship, and then you'll be dismissed. Amen. All right.